Coming up, we do it two by two. We've got a pair of cell phones, a pair of headphones, and a stylus that looks just like a dart. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Manpacks. Manly goods on a schedule. Get started today and have underwear, socks, toiletries, shaving supplies, and more delivered to your door. Visit Manpacks.com/TWiT and get $10 off your first order of $30 or more. Or buy a gift card for $50 and just pay $40. It's not exactly aerodynamic, is it? Just kind of went end over end. Welcome to Before You Buy. It's TWiT's product review show. We get all the hot new products in here, and then we parcel them out to the TWiT employees and staff, give them a chance to rate, review, share their opinions with you. We're so glad you're here for Before You Buy. We're going to start with a look at some interesting headphones. Actually, Callie Lewis showed these to me the first time I ever saw them. These are the Aftershocks. You see, when you put them on, they don't actually go in your ears. They go in your bones. Tony Wang has a review.
I'm Tony Wang for Twitter TV, and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Aftershocks Sports M2 Bone Conducting Headphones. So what these headphones are, they're not your average headphones. They're actually bone conducting, and what that means is that you wear these right outside your ear, and it will actually transfer the audio into your skull via the bone right outside your ear, right here. So what does that really mean to you as a consumer, as a user of these headphones? Is that they actually provide a lot of safety for you. So if you're out riding your bike around town, or if you're jogging late at night, or anywhere you are outside doing the activity, and if you need to hear what's going around in your surrounding, then with these headphones you could. The best way to describe these headphones without playing the audio for you is that they're sort of like you're holding speakers right by your ear. So imagine having, let's say, your cell phone is playing music, but it's right here, and you actually have two of them, so you have stereo going on while you're playing this. It's like you're riding in an elevator, and you're sort of standing there talking to your friend, but at the same time, you have the elevator music playing. So you can hear both at the same time. The M2 is actually their second generation headphones, and they actually done some very nice design changes to the module that holds the controls as well as the battery. First of all, you can actually use these headphones to talk on the phone. The microphone is actually built into the module here. So if you clip it on your shirt, then you can use these to answer calls and make calls if your phone supports voice control. As you can see, the unit is blinking blue when it's on, and on the bottom of the unit, you can see there's a micro USB charging port, which is missing from the first generation, the power toggle switch, as well as your volume control. I do find that volume might be a little bit too loud when you crank the audio up all the way on the headset itself, so it's probably best to control the audio level on your music player. So pros and cons of these headphones, they're very comfortable to wear behind your ear. I don't really notice them after running for a mile or so. And they are sweat resistant, so you don't have to worry about cleaning them or how to clean them. Now for the con of the headphones, it is a bulkier unit for you to carry when you're running, so because you have this lithium ion battery pack. So that might be in consideration if you're looking for something that's a little bit more compact. Buy, try, or don't buy, I'm going to go ahead and give these headphones a buy. At the MSRP of $79.95 and street price less than that, I feel like this is really good value for your money. Plus, it keeps you safe, and the blue blinking LED is pretty cool. I'm Tony from Twitter TV, and Before You Buy, and this is the Aftershocks Sports M2 Open Ear Headphones with Mike.
The shocks! Bone conducting headphones. I mean, you know, this is good for the gym because sweat just kind of pours over them. It doesn't pour in, into your... Anyway. Thank you, Tony Wang. Tony is our editor-in-chief here at the TWiT Cottage. Actually, or Brick House. He's actually, that doesn't mean he's like in a magazine editor in chief. He's actually a video editor in chief. This is Iyaz Akhtar. He is one of the guys on TNT and the host of Know How.
Yeah, with you.
With me, our weekly show on how to do stuff. What's our Know How project coming up?
This week we're going to be organizing some photos. We're going to, it's a three-parter. It's going to be fun.
Oh, good.
Well, three parts in one episode. It's not three parts.
Yeah, good. I can't wait. Well, I don't know why, but you always seem to get the oddball Samsung devices. What is this one?
Well, there's a reason why I keep getting these phones is because I'm currently on a quest for a phone.
The perfect phone.
I have not had a cell phone for a couple of years. I've been data only for a long time.
Wow.
And now it's finally caught up to me. I've got to get a phone. So I've been asking to review things, and this is the Samsung Galaxy Victory, which is a budget phone that runs on the Sprint network. And you can notice right away, it's a bulky phone.
Yeah.
It looks like the old iPhone 3G. Like it just
does.
It's massive when it comes to that. It costs $50 with contract. I've seen it for a lot less on Amazon, like a penny. So when you're talking about a free phone or a $50 phone, I got to say, some of the specs on this device, pretty impressive. 4-inch display, 800 by 480 display. I always like it when they cram a lot of pixels in a small device. I tried out another device. It was 4.5 inches. Same resolution. I always have a problem with that. I really hate TouchWiz, so immediately I put them on my own launcher.
Samsung interface.
That's right. The Samsung TouchWiz interface is the friendly interface that I just despise.
I do the same thing, yeah.
This is a version of the Jelly Bean launcher, which I quite like. And you can see it's really snappy. I got to say, for $50, it's a really snappy device. Trying to get widgets going. There they go. Works pretty well.
That's 4.12 that's on there?
Running on this device is 4.0.4.
So 4.0?
This is Ice Cream Sandwich.
Wow.
And it's running on the Sprint network. So in my experience, didn't have the best time trying to make phone calls in Petaluma.
Sprint's not great around here, but your mileage will vary. If you're in a good Sprint area, of course, it'd be good.
And the touchscreen is responsive. Buttons work great. I mean, there's a dedicated camera button. Not spectacular photos, but serviceable. Again, this is a budget device or free, so it's very hard to complain about what you get here. On the pros and cons, like I say, pro, I love the screen. High res, 800 by 480 on this device. Inexpensive at $50. It's got NFC and LTE, so if you have Sprint LTE coverage, you've got a good phone for that. On the con side, Sprint network does lack coverage areas. Like in Petaluma, not exactly spectacular, getting 3G speeds. It's a bit bulky. I mean, it's pretty large. So that's another thing if you want it in your pocket. And the screen at 4 inches, compared to the phones these days, a bit on the smaller side. On the verdict, I got to say, this is a try. If you're looking for a budget phone and you're okay with not being on Jelly Bean right now, it's not a bad phone, although I wouldn't think it's going to get updated to 4.2 anytime soon.
The Samsung Victory. It's inexpensive. It's Ice Cream Sandwich. Mm-hmm. But for the price, it's not bad.
It's hard to complain when something was like free on contract or $50 on contract.
I got to point out, though, that no matter how cheap your phone is when you buy it, you still pay the same monthly data fee month in, month out for 2 years. So really, you're saving maybe $150, at most $150, and you're still paying thousands over the life of the phone. I don't know what the savings really is.
That is a great point. So yeah, this Sprint does offer a ton of other phones that would probably beat the pants off of this thing. If you want the latest and greatest, this isn't it. But if you're looking for a budget phone, not bad.
Thank you. Iyaz Akhtar. We'll see you Thursday on Know How.
All right. Will do.
Our show today brought to you by Man Packs. Manly goods by mail. You're a man.
Yes, I am.
You could probably, I bet you would like underwear arriving every 3 months. Fresh underwear. You still have to do your laundry because, you just do. But wouldn't you like a pair of, maybe three pairs of shorts, a t-shirt, some shaving goods? And you don't have to think about it. They just come every 3 months automatically. It's kind of cool.
I think my favorite thing is the different shaving goods that they have.
Really nice stuff.
I want to try out new things every now and then.
Yeah.
And it's hard to go from brand to brand.
I'm a big fan. I've been a Manpax customer for almost 2 years now. We have a special Twit deal for you. Manpax.com/Twit will save you $10 on any purchase of $30 or more. Or take $10 off a $50 gift card. If you've got a man in your life, or maybe you are a man, you should know. Go to Twit, Manpax page, Twit page on Manpax, manpax.com/twit for $10 off.
I just got mine yesterday, actually.
You just got your man pack?
Yeah. Mm. I got my man pack in the mail.
Is it Jim?
It was
manly goods?
It was a coming-of-age story, and I feel more complete now.
When the package was dropped off.
Very special before you buy. Jason Howell comes of age. Brian is our technical director, Brian Burnett, and we gave him a bunch of styluses, including this one that looks just like a dart. If you've got a tablet or an iPhone, a lot of people like these styluses. We gave him the latest from Pogo and others. Let's take a look at his review.
Hey, Brian Burnett from Before You Buy here at Twit to show you a few styluses that will work with any multi-touch device. The first one I'm going to take a look at is the Woody's iPick. Now, this little guy is shaped just like a guitar pick, and it's made out of aluminum, feels really sturdy, and then at the other end, it has a nice little rubber tip. It works really well if you want to use GarageBand or some other guitar app to learn a few tabs on your iPad and do some strumming, as you can see here. It works really well, it's sensitive, and you don't have to use it just for strumming. You can use it for anything else that you'd use a stylus for. You can even use it to type on your keyboard or to do some drawing. I also liked using it for playing Fruit Ninja. As you can see, I'm pretty good at it. So the little iPick comes in a bunch of different colors, and it's $9.99. Some of the pros of this little guy is it's small, it's durable, and it's pretty cheap for what it is. Moving on to the next stylus, I'm taking a look at the Go Smart Stylus, the 200 series. You'll notice that it's pretty basic, and then at the tip, the actual stylus part is made out of metal. The nice thing about this stylus is that you can see where you're touching because through the wire mesh instead of like the really thick rubber tips that a lot of styluses have. So you can do really intricate little notes and fine lines if that's what you're looking for. So this Go Smart 200 series comes in at $24.95 because it comes with magnets that will stick to the surface of your iPad or whatever other device you might have. So the other stylus I have from Go Smart is the 300 series. Now, the only difference between these two styluses is the shape. This one is shaped like a rocket ship or maybe a blow dart. Both these styluses feel pretty well made, and the material that they use feels really solid. So like the 200, this one also has the see-through wire stylus tip at the end. And these are detachable, and you can buy replacement tips on Amazon for $6, which you may need to do because they look really delicate. So the pros and cons for these two styluses, they're both very precise. You can buy them with magnets if you want to be able to attach it to the side of your iPad or whatever touch device you have. They both have a good weight to them. I prefer the 300 series because it feels and has more of a shape like a regular brush or pen. The only con with these Go Smart series that I can see is that the tips are really delicate, and you might, if you break them, you're going to have to order replacements, and they're $6 a piece. And the last stylus I'm taking a look at here is the Pogo Connect. Now, this is a Bluetooth-capable stylus, which means it has the capability of being pressure-sensitive. This comes in at $79.95, and it's the most expensive stylus out of these four that I'm looking at, but it's also the most professional one. It has a single AAA battery that Pogo claims lasts for months. Connecting it to the iPad wasn't too much of an issue, but you have to have Bluetooth 4.0 capable device. And even though this was an iPad 3 I was using, I still had to go onto the App Store and download the Pogo Connect app for the iPad to detect it. If you're looking to take advantage of some of the more professional apps for drawing on your iPad, the Pogo Connect is probably the one to go with. So, of all these styluses, which ones are buy, try, don't buy? For the iPick, I'm going to say a buy. It's cheap, it's light, and it works really well. For the Go Smart 200 and 300 series, I'm going to say try. They're a little delicate, but I do like the fact that you can see what you're writing and be very precise with them. Finally, the Pogo Connect, I'm going to say try. If you're looking for a more professional stylus, one that has pressure-sensitive capabilities, this could be the one for you. It's a little pricey at $79.95. But overall, it works really well. So that's been a few different styluses for any multi-touch device. Hope you enjoyed watching. This has been Brian Burnett from Before You Buy.
That's Brian Burnett, technical director of Before You Buy. And we thank you, Brian, for your review. Now, Jason Howell is here. He is the host of All About Android, celebrating 100 episodes tonight.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Unbelievable.
Tonight. I know.
Maybe some old faces will show up.
Possibly so. That's working on some cool stuff for tonight's show.
A special edition of All About Android later tonight. And because you are the Android maven, the host of All About Android with Gina Trapani and Ron Richards, we let you look at the latest and greatest. This is not the latest and greatest.
I wouldn't say so.
Kind of odd that you're reviewing the HTC One
X Plus. Yeah, so this is the kind of the follow-up to the One, which was kind of HTC's flagship, I guess, for last year, for 2012.
And a very nice phone. But I've been waiting for the new HTC One. I guess it's delayed. We were just looking on the...
So HTC announced this year that they're coming out with their new flagship, the HTC One.
Which will be the same on all carriers.
But it's going to be the same. They're going to go for a unified approach this time, more so than they did the last
time. That's not what they did with this. What carrier is the X Plus for?
Exactly. This is AT&T. It's an LTE device. It's the X Plus, and it's definitely an iterative update from the HTC One X. They basically upgraded a few features on here, but just to kind of give you a quick rundown of what we have here, 1.7 gigahertz quad core Tegra 3, up from 1.5 on the previous generation. That was a dual core on the previous as well. 1 gig of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, up from 32. No SD card slot, so if you need one of those, that's out. The screen is very nice, actually. It's definitely one of the key features here. 4.7 inch 720p display. It has a Gorilla Glass 2, although, and I'm very careful with my phones. I've got little scratches on the front. I don't know if they were there when I got it or if I've done that. But if I've done that, I'm pretty surprised because I take really good care of my phones. 8-megapixel rear-facing camera on the back here, capable of 1080p HD video. And, of course, the 1.6-megapixel front-facing camera with 720p HD video. They upgraded the battery size from the One X from 1,800 milliamp hours to 2,100 milliamp. It's kind of a moderate upgrade, but that is still non-removable. That's one thing about HTC is,
bugs me.
You know, their design, they really kind of make a nice, compact, hard design that I kind of like, but that comes at a cost. A lot of the times it comes at the cost of a non-removable battery being
thrown out. What kind of life were you getting on that?
I was getting okay. It was actually one of the things I wasn't too excited about with the device, running the device daily. I had a reasonable amount of things syncing, you know, as I usually do, 3 emails, Twitter, Facebook, Google+. I'm also syncing Evernote and Bacon Reader, which is my current Reddit account app of choice. And I would typically need to charge it somewhere around 3 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And it wasn't running very well. However, if I pull this down up here at the very top, it's a persistent notification called Power Saver Mode. And you can activate that. If you never have any use for this, I don't even know if you can remove it from that notification bar. So it's always there. But what that does is it kind of changes the behavior of your device.
Well, you won't be downloading Twitter.
Well, yeah, exactly. It kind of ramps that all down. So if the screen is off, it's really not doing much syncing.
It doesn't do anything when the screen's off. Yeah.
But when I did that, easily got through a day. I mean, obviously, because it's doing a lot less when...
Right.
But when you consider that the phone, the device is in your pocket a lot of the time, sometimes it's just not that important. What would be really nice is if they gave you the ability to kind of put some apps on a whitelist or to say, you know, these apps can continue to update regularly. Right. These apps,
maybe
not so much.
Maybe you want to keep getting Twitter, but you don't care about anything else.
And I know, I think they do that on the Sony phones now. Right. They allow you to do those kinds of things. So battery, not so great. But as far as the design is concerned, I think that ultimately that's
pretty.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a big sucker for HTC design. I like their compact approach. Everything, their phones feel sturdy. Although I don't know how that kind of goes into the breakability standpoint. If you drop it, you know, a lot of times the Samsung plastic, the proponents
better
for that say, hey, it bounces at least. It doesn't just hit the ground and shatter into a million pieces. But I like the design. Performance, you know, it's a quad core processor in there, and everything feels about as snappy as you would expect it to. Apps moved really well. Another thing that I really liked using on this versus my Galaxy Nexus is Google Now. I mean, it's just really quick compared to what I'm used to. Oh, got to export in-house advertising.
I love Google Now.
Oh, I mean, now so is just
you got
incredible.
Jelly Bean on that one.
Yes. So it is 4.1.1 Jelly Bean. It's not the latest version of Jelly Bean, but I'm sure it's on the way.
Hey,
Beats
at least
Audio,
you got Jelly
if that
Bean,
matters.
And you get Google Now as a result. Beats how does Beats sound on a phone like that?
I'm not a big fan of Beats, to be honest. I find when I use Beats, it doesn't make music sound better. It overemphasizes things that I don't necessarily need overemphasized. And sometimes when I'm like plugging it into my car stereo or certain headphones, it actually makes it sound wrong.
Right.
It makes it overblown in certain ways. So I'm not a huge fan, but if you like Beats, I guess it's there for you.
Pros and cons.
Pros, I would say solid design. Definitely, that's one of my favorite things about HTC devices, and this is no different. The display is very nice. It's 720, and now the current kind of trend 1080. Is 1080.
Yeah.
But I think 720 in this case is perfectly sufficient.
How big a screen did you say?
4.7.
Oh, it's a pretty big screen.
Yeah, okay. It's a good size screen. Performance, of course, as I said, also it performs pretty well. The cons are the camera. Actually, I didn't even talk about the camera. Pictures, you know, the software is great. I really like Sense's kind of approach on their software with the camera. But the results of the pictures is really grainy. When you pull them onto a computer, they overprocess them. I almost feel like the pictures would look better if they just took out some of that smart processing. The battery, of course, non-removable and doesn't last so long. And I think ultimately the big thing here is it's poor timing. Why would you buy this if the HTC One, the next one, is
even
right
delayed,
around the corner?
It's just a few weeks away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This came out somewhere around November, December of last year. So this review is admittedly a little bit late. But at this point, I wouldn't buy this unless it was really discounted in price.
Right.
Because if you're thinking about dropping $200 on a device like this, you should wait for the HTC One and check it out. Because it's got a lot more going for it.
So it sounds like a don't buy.
I'd say don't buy.
Yeah. Was a great phone in its time.
It's weird. It's like there are parts of it that I really like. It's hard to give it a don't buy, but it's really hard to recommend to buy it either because the HTC One's around the corner.
And the battery of life is a killer. And yeah. You're going to get much better screen resolution.
Yeah.
The new HTC One screen is reputedly dynamite. Well, we'll make sure you get a review unit.
I would love to. Absolutely.
Out. Thank you. Jason Howell, producer of TNT, host of All About Android. How do I look with this?
Natural.
Yeah, really good.
I'm a throwback look.
Normal, because that's how you walk to work every day.
I like listening to my boombox. This boombox, something left over from Shannon Morse. She's our producer and reviewed three accessories for your Android phone. Shannon?
Hey guys, Shannon Morse here. I'm the producer of Before You Buy, and today I have a couple of different Galaxy S3 peripherals and cool things you can add to your phone. So first off, I have the iWalk Chameleon Easy G3 case. This costs about $54.99 on the market. You can find it on Amazon for about $55 or so. And this is obviously a rechargeable battery case for your S3. A couple of nice things to keep in mind about this. It does add on about 13 hours of extra talk time to your phone. It's shockproof and dust resistant. It doesn't have a shiny back, so it's not going to get a bunch of smudges. Although after some time, you might notice a couple of marks on it from dropping it or what have you. It does have a nice little LED on the bottom of it and a on-off switch, so you don't have to keep it on all the time. Ta-da! And this will blink on and off whenever you get low on power as well. It doesn't take long to charge, just a couple of hours or so. And it also comes with a nice little USB charger. So, cool thing about this is you can also sync your phone at the same time while you're charging the battery pack. It fits onto the phone pretty nicely and snugly. You snap it down onto the micro USB charger. Ta-da! Cut it on. And it starts charging your phone automatically. So, my pros and cons for this little guy. It is a long-lasting battery at 13 hours with talk time. It does sync while it's recharging from your computer. And it does have that nice, sleek, modern design where it's not going to get a bunch of dust on the back of it. The cons, obviously, it's bulky. It does add a lot of weight to your phone, so you might not like that. All in all, I do have to give it a buy. It does what it promises to do, and I kind of like the little LED down here. So that's the Chameleon Easy G3 battery case. Next up, we have the Sadio Vitreo Tempered Glass Screen Protector for your Galaxy S3. It has a couple of nice things about it. Obviously, it's going to prevent any kind of scratches or marks from the tempered glass. It has a 9H hardness factor, which is pretty darn good. And it also has this thing called oleophobic coating. This is a coating on the actual tempered glass that's going to prevent any kind of smudges, any kind of marks. But you will notice, if I press the phone enough with my really greasy hands, that it does bring up a whole bunch of nasty smudges on it. Pros on this guy, it is scratch resistant. And the cons, it is kind of thick. It's not going to work with all the covers that you put on this if the covers overlap to the top of the phone. And it is somewhat unresponsive. I did read online that a lot of other people had that problem with this. At the price of $39.95, I'd say get something cheaper, and I give this a don't buy. And last but not least, we have the G-Dock by Grace Digital, specifically made for the S3, the S2, and the Galaxy Note. Now, a couple of things to think about with this guy. It rotates, so you can set it on its side, you can set it on its back, you can rotate the actual dock on it, pretty much anything you want to do. It does come with a couple of different dock sizes, so you can change it out for the S3, the S2, or the Note. And it can play through the actual dock itself or an aux-in jack as well. It does have a couple of dual bass ports on the back, so it's going to pop out a little bit more bass than your regular speakers would. It has the aux-in jack, of course. It also has a lithium-ion battery, which is sold separately, which adds on about 6 hours of battery life if you choose to purchase that yourself. It has 16 watts of power, it's two-channel, and it also has 89 decibels. So it does get pretty loud, and it's pretty crisp and clear. The size is pretty small. It's about 13 inches by 3.8 inches by 4.3 inches. Not bad at all. Now, the pros on this guy. I love that you can rotate the dock, so no matter which way you set the speakers, you can make your phone upright. It also works with the aux-in or the dock, has the nice little battery feature if you wanted to purchase that alone, and the sound quality in this is pretty nice. It's not bad at all. The cons, for some reason, when we use this S3, it brought up tune-up radio again and again every time we put it in the dock. Kind of weird that it did that. Also, I noticed when we were trying to get this to work, it would only work with the aux-in cable and it would not work on the dock. After doing about 15 minutes of research on Google, I found their website and it turns out there is a Samsung device setting that you have to change to make the audio output to the actual dock itself. With all the pros and cons in mind, if you can get over the issues when you're setting it up, it costs about $129.99 and it's made specifically for your Galaxy phones. I gotta give it a buy. It's definitely a very good speaker. Now, hope you liked my reviews today. Again, my name is Shannon Morse, and I'm with Before You Buy. Back to you.
We like everything you do, Shannon. Shannon Morse produces this show. She's also the host of ThreatWire, which is seen at youtube.com/techfeed, a show all about security, weekly show all about security. She does with Hack Five's Darren, what's his name? So his name can't possibly be Kitchen. That's a room in a home. Yeah. I mean, is like, your name Aya's living room?
Well, I was thinking about it for a stage name. I was looking around the house, but I'm like, you know, that wouldn't work. Long living room.
No.
Maybe Aya's den would have been better.
Aya's den.
Like, I-den. It's a great idea.
Like, I'm Leo Bedroom. What do you think? No. So anyway, ThreatWire is at youtube.com/techfeed, and maybe Darren will forgive me because we sent people there. I am going to review something that I have made fun of since day one. When Google first came out with the Chrome OS, they gave a lot of us the Chromebook, the CR48, which was a big, clunky book. It wasn't really ever intended to be sold and never was. The idea being give journalists a chance to look at the idea of a Chrome OS. What is Chrome OS? Well, it's an operating system based on Google Chrome, and really, that's all it is. It's a Chrome browser. Any plugins you can run on the Chrome browser, and nowadays that's quite a few apps, but it's still somewhat limited because it can't run, it's not like Windows or Macintosh. You can't just run arbitrary applications. They all have to be Chrome plugins. This is the top Chromebook until recently when the Pixel came out, the Samsung Chromebook, $250, which is a very good price. This one you're seeing here has a 3G networking built in, so it's another $80. But what do you get for $250 or $320, $330? Well, you get an 11-inch screen. It's only 1366 by 768. It's matte. VGA webcam, not very high quality. It's fairly light. The whole device weighs just under 3 pounds. 2 gigs of RAM, 16-gig built-in drive. There are a couple of ports on the back, a USB 2 port and a USB 3 port, which is kind of funny because the Pixel doesn't have USB 3. It also has an HDMI port, which means you could hook it up to a big screen TV if you wanted to watch movies via the Chromebook. And you get a few other things along with this, including 100 gigabytes of Google Drive cloud storage for 2 years, 12 free sessions of GoGo in-flight internet. So if you're on an airplane that has GoGo, you can use this. And because this one is not just Wi-Fi, it also has 3G, it's going to be pretty much always connected. It uses the Verizon 3G network. You get 100 megabytes a month of Verizon. That's not very much, but you can pay for more. Price range, we just looked, is about the same as on the iPad, up to $30. I'm sorry, up to $50 a month for 3 gigs. It's, you know, I mean, 100 megabytes isn't going to get you very far. So you probably, if you want to use this on 3G, will be paying extra per month. What do you really get? You get a netbook. This is a netbook, an ARM-based netbook. It's based on a dual-core processor from Samsung called the Exynos. You'll find that in kind of low-end cell phones these days. But that's enough processing power for doing what you want to do with this. In fact, you can even play games. Look, I was playing earlier, Plants vs. Zombies. Let's get back to the game. And one of the things you'll notice is the sound is quite loud. That's the speakers on the bottom, left and right. And they really are quite good. So let me just get some sun. We're going to shoot some zombies. The game isn't full screen, but maybe if I paid for it, it would be. This is the free version of Plants vs. Zombies available in the web store. And there is quite a big web store available. Let's close this out, and I'll give you a little bit of a tour of the web store. Notice, by the way, the new Chrome OS kind of pretends to be a real operating system by putting icons in a taskbar down here. But every time I use this, I always want to minimize the browser, you know, get it out of the way, see what's out here. And while, yes, there is a desktop picture, there's nothing else. Really, it is a browser-based operating system. And that's the thing to think about when you take a look at Chromebooks. That could be good or bad. You know, in the recent Ponium competition, where they put all the OSs up in front of hackers and paid them big bucks to crack it, this was the only operating system that wasn't cracked. So what you have here is a very secure device for surfing the net. Let's visit the web store briefly, and you'll see there's a ton of content and applications you can run on here. A lot of the things you might think you could only do on a desktop computer, you can do on Chrome. Things like editing audio and video. But remember, you don't have a lot of storage, only 16 gigs. You can supplement that with an SD card here, but most of what you're doing is going to be stored up in the cloud, and most of the processing power is going to come from the cloud, not come from this ARM-based processor. One thing I'm very pleased to see is you can run Netflix on this, and that's pretty cool. That means with these nice big speakers or the HDMI port, you can actually watch movies, watch video on this and enjoy it. I'll give you the pros and cons. The pro, of course, is price. This is an amazing price. $250 without 3G, add 3G, it's now $330. Let's go full screen on Battlestar Galactica. And what I will do is I'll turn down the volume so you can hear me a little bit. But, I mean, that's pretty cool that I can do this, right? On a Wi-Fi network that's very fast, very snappy. So price is definitely a pro. Security is also a pro. You know, this is affordable enough that you might just buy it to use as your banking computer. Use your regular Windows or Mac machine for everything else, but do the stuff that you want to keep absolutely private, absolutely secure here on the Chromebook. As long as you trust Google, your stuff is absolutely safe. The cons, though, are it's fairly cheap hardware. What would you expect for $250? It's a netbook. This isn't a great screen. It's a matte screen. Its color isn't very bright. It feels a little washed out. Compared with a lot of higher-end, more expensive computers, it's a little bit dissatisfying. Sound quality is good, though. The speakers are loud and sound pretty decent. The keyboard is very usable. The biggest con is it's Chrome OS. It's a browser, not an operating system. But I don't think that's necessarily a negative for a student, for somebody who doesn't do a lot of heavy-duty computing. If what you do is email, and the only email, by the way, is Gmail, if you're online most of the time, because remember, there really isn't much you can do if you're not online. You need to be connected. There are some, you know, your Google Drive docs download to the hard drive. You can kind of work with them and upload them later. You can do offline Gmail, but most of the stuff you need to do is online. But, you know, so there are some limitations to Chrome OS. It isn't a full computer operating system, but most of the time, most of what people do is email, surfing, maybe watch some movies, play a few games, and you can do all of that on the Chrome OS quite handily for a very affordable price. So I think I might surprise people when I say I give this a buy. Now, I give it a buy with the understanding of the limitations it has. It's kind of cheesy hardware. It's really almost, in fact, Google position is this way, a disposable computer. A computer you won't cry huge tears if you lose or the dog sits on it. Because it's tied to Google. Everything that you do on here is already backed up on the cloud. You don't have to worry about backup. And if you do lose this, you just get another one, log onto your Google account, and it's just the same. It updates automatically. It's totally secure. If you can live with the fact that it's basically just a browser, it's not a full computer, I think it's a good deal for the price. For $250 for Wi-Fi, I wouldn't recommend 3G because of the monthly fees, unless you absolutely need to have connectivity out in the field. Remember, now Google does sell a high-end version of this, which I'm going to review as soon as it arrives, the Chrome Pixel. It's a better hardware, but exactly the same operating system. The problem I have with the Pixel is it's so darn expensive. You could really get a pretty nice, a very nice computer, a MacBook Air, an Ultrabook for the same price. But this is, you know, almost a better netbook. If you're in the market for an inexpensive computer that just does a few things securely and effectively, the Samsung Chromebook is actually not a bad computer.
You keep holding that up. It looks like it's metal, but that's actually all plastic,
it's all
right?
Plastic. It's an, you know, if you've ever held a netbook, it's a netbook. You've seen them before. You know, it's a netbook with a different operating system on it. It looks pretty good. I tell you, my biggest qualm about that, frankly, is the screen. It's kind of a washed out, not a great screen. But I'm spoiled. I use a MacBook Pro with Retina display or that high quality Acer S7 display. So I don't know if I'm the market for this. I'm using high end, expensive computers with really fancy displays. It may be the market for this as a school kid. Schools are buying these for $20 a month per student. With the connectivity, that's not bad. Somebody who doesn't do a whole lot, and I think this is an interesting use for it, as a secure computer that you do your home banking on and the stuff that you don't want to leak out anywhere else. A $250 laptop, what more do you expect? It's exactly what you'd expect. That's the Samsung Chromebook. Yes, I give it a buy. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed our episode today. Thanks to Tony Wang, editor-in-chief, for his review, Iaz Akhtar of TNT and Know How, Brian Burnett, our technical director, Jason Howell of TNT, he's about ready to get ready for All About Android later today, Shannon Morse, our producer, and me, I'm Leo Lepore. Remember, you can watch this show when we do it, which is every Tuesday afternoon, a little after 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Let's see, that'd be 2200 UTC on twit.tv. But, of course, we make all of the reviews available review by review on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. And you can get on-demand versions of the entire show, both audio and video, at twit.tv/BYB or wherever podcasts are aggregated for your pleasure. You can email Shannon at byb@twit.tv. Let her know what you'd like us to review. We can get almost anything, and we do want to review the things you're interested in. Again, that's byb@twit.tv. I'm Leo Lepore. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy.